really important because Google has become increasingly difficult for small advertisers to deal with. And while I think it's important and essential, I hate putting my eggs in one basket. I always like having other things that we can do. And furthermore, I believe in paid traffic. Free traffic is nice when you can get it, but you can't count on it because you can't step up and pay for it and buy it. And that's a problem. It's really good, Jonathan, I think you're going to agree with us, when you can stick cash in somebody's face and they send you traffic and you don't have to wait for the gods of anything to smile upon you.
That's right. The only gods you're waiting to smile are for your check to cash, so they know that you're really going to pay for the traffic. But I want to say something about Google. You know, people have this idea that I dislike Google. I mean, I love Google. I'm a shareholder of Google. I got the Android phone at least for another couple weeks until Verizon gets the iPhone. I really do love Google. And I tell people, I say, listen, the very best place for you to start your promotion is Google. And if you can build your whole business and your whole life and this huge profit stream around that one channel, good. But I've never found anybody who over time can consistently use Google to do everything that they want to do. And in fact, increasingly I talk to people and they'll say, so do you not like Google? I'm like, no, man, you should totally be with Google. And then they'll say, oh, well, they kicked me out. I'm like, oh, here, do this. And we see that more often now as Google starts to tighten up, because Google has their user experience in probably play more than anything else. It's very, very important to them that they keep that user experience tight. And a lot of what they teach their advertisers to do to keep the user experience good, in their opinion, is the exact opposite of what we in the marketing field tell our people to do, because we're trying to make the sale. Again, Google's trying to keep the experience there. So I have nothing against Google. I just think that you need to start looking around, especially if you're in any sort of situation where you're promoting anything that Google doesn't like, or you're in the lead generation business, or you're using squeeze pages, or when you really start to look at the rules and regulations that they have, a lot of us just need more channels in ways that we can actually take advantage of some of the techniques that we've learned actually work. So today we're going to talk about something completely different. I'm not going to talk about banners. I'm not going to talk about PPC or anything. I'm going to talk about a different kind of marketing that some of you are probably familiar with and some of you are not. The first thing I want to make sure is that everybody downloads the PDF that I have prepared for this particular call. Perry, is there an address or a URL they can go to?
Yes, sir. PerryMarshall.com/MyZell Handout.
MyZell Handout, all one word. Okay, and I've got this PDF there, and we're going to call this the CPV Profit Principles. Now, if you've never heard of CPV, don't worry. We'll go over what it is. If you think you know what CPV is, you may not. And if you are a CPV expert, I bet you're going to get a couple of things from this call, because we're going to take this in a slightly different direction than we take most CPV training. So I think the first thing that I just want to say is that I hope to give you enough information that you can actually start running campaigns after you get this call. You should be able to go to one of the sources that I'm going to give you and set up a campaign and just start running it. It's not very difficult. It's not complicated. In fact, CPV marketing is what we recommend most people get started with because of the way that it actually targets users and its ease of setting up. So we're going to cover the source of CPV traffic, where this stuff comes from. We're going to go over the differences in targeting, the visitor quality, and then, like I said, we're going to talk about some networks. So let's go ahead and just start talking about what CPV is. I think the biggest thing is a lot of people want to know, what does it mean? So what CPV means, it means cost per view. And you can compare that to cost per click on a more traditional advertising platform. The difference between CPV and CPC is that somebody clicks on your ad with CPC and then they see your landing page. With CPV, we're going to call this thing, this ad unit, a view. So when we talk about a CPV and we say we're actually buying a cost per view traffic, what we're really buying is a pop-up. That's what CPV traffic is. It's pop-ups. But it's not pop-ups in the traditional sense of the word. Really, pop-ups most of the time are just code on a site, and then when you go there, the pop-up happens. CPV is a completely different animal. Now, what CPV is, in terms of the user, not the advertiser, but in terms of the user, it's important to understand this. If you're a person who is involved in a CPV network, you do not join that network so that you can get ads. Nobody says, I need more ads, right? You know, they wake up in the morning and they're like, man, I need to see some marketing today. No, what CPV is a value trade. And the trade is where a user, this is the person who's, again, going to be getting the ads, they voluntarily agree to receive pop-up advertising. And in exchange for that pop-up advertising, they get something that they consider valuable. Now, usually it's downloadable software or a toolbar or a game. We'll look at some examples if you have the handout, or an ongoing service. Perry, you have certainly heard of Farmville, haven't you?
Yeah. I think it's the most loved, most hated phenomenon on the Internet.
So Farmville is owned by a company called Zynga, and I can't remember what their revenue was last year, but I think it was on, around $250 million. Now, if you think that they made all that money selling pigs and sheep, I'd like to sell you a pig and a sheep for $250 million. But the truth is, what they do is they make most of their money by converting their users into an advertising network and actually sharing with their users these offers, like a Netflix offer. I believe that Zynga is the number one Netflix affiliate in the world last year because they generated so many registrations. Now, the way that they do it is a little bit different. They say, if you want to buy this pig, you can pay $15 for the pig, or you can sign up for Netflix and we'll give you the pig for free.
That's clever. That is so clever.
It's very, very clever. And again, you know, huge, hundreds of millions of dollars here. Well, other companies, there's one called GameVance, GameVance. They are like a very traditional CPV network, if you can call it that. They have a deal where you can go and download a bunch of games, Farmville-like games. They have a Mob Wars. They have a, you know, bunch of rip-offs of Angry Birds. And you name it. If there's a game, they've got it. And the agreement that you make with GameVance is that you say, I agree to download the software so I can play the game. And you, GameVance, you have my permission to send me up to 4 pop-ups a day that are about stuff that I'm looking for or visiting. It's very important. The way that this software works that you install into your computer as a user is that you make a trade. You say, I'll take the ads, but I want the software. Another one that's really well known is Babelfish. It's a translation software. When you download Babelfish, you agree, you get the software for free, and you agree to get the pop-ups. And so, believe it or not, as advertising intolerant as we've gotten in this country, millions and millions of people have agreed to this. And these CPV networks have gotten huge, massive, able to drive literally tens of millions of unique visitors a day, in some cases even more. And again, it's just back to the value trade. Because the reason I want to clarify that is someone had said a while back, they said, is that spyware? And it's not spyware. It's all up front. It's called adware, which is I agree to get ads for this benefit, right? So let me go to my next slide here. So some of the interesting – now, let me talk real briefly about how this works. The way it works is when you are searching through the Internet and you hit a site that someone, an advertiser, is targeting, or you search for a keyword that someone is targeting, the pop-up will show up. I've got a couple examples on there. These are actual pop-ups from a CPV campaign. And what's interesting is that, and I don't think people even realize this, but, you know, people want to play their Farmville and their Mob Wars and their other stuff, so they don't really care. They get the pop-ups. It doesn't matter what toolbar you use. It doesn't matter what search engine you search on. It doesn't matter what browser you have. The adware software is powerful enough to find out what you're looking for, what you're searching, and what you're visiting, no matter what you're using. And these pop-ups are completely and totally unblockable. There's no way to block them. So, again, very important to understand. This is the value trade. I'll get the advertising, but in exchange for that, I want to play this game or I want to mess around, right? You know, I want to translate my software. So let's talk a little bit about the pricing. Now, CPV ads are sold on a bidded basis like other kinds of advertising like Google or, you know, most of the ad networks. You're competing with other advertisers for the traffic. So if they pay more, you're going to get fewer visitors. If you pay more, you're going to get fewer visitors, right? You know, or they're going to get fewer visitors. But there's two big differences between CPV and the normal PPC. Most of the PPC pricing that we see, especially on Google, you know, starts at 50, 80 cents, a buck. I mean, does Google have nickel clicks anymore?
Oh, yes, they do, but only for certain topics. You know, like philosophy or something.
I can see you actually writing a book on that.
You could be right, Jonathan.
Okay, so most of the CPV traffic starts at a penny or 2 pennies per click. It's significantly lower than Google. And even in some of the higher-end categories, almost all of it can be had for, you know, 3-4 cents, unless it's so competitive that it's gotten bid up. There's another big difference, too, and that is that your click-through rate with PPC is very relevant because they want to know how much money they're going to make for that little ad spot. And if you don't get any clicks, they don't get any revenue, and so they start to bump up your ad price. Because CPV is a guaranteed view or a click-through, it doesn't matter what the users do. You're paying to deliver that particular page to someone regardless of what they do. So it's not going to be tricky for people. You always want to be the best copywriter that you can be. You always want to get the highest response possible. But this is a great way to get guaranteed traffic without having to worry about whether your offer is even good. We like to use this. You know, we test a lot of stuff with CPV. We'll find a niche or we'll find a particular site that we want to target, and then we'll throw 3 or 4 different headlines at them with a squeeze page, and we can see pretty quickly which ones they actually subscribe to. Because if they're not subscribing to, you know, to any of them, we know there's nothing there. But if one or two starts to win, we're going to know that quickly because we're not talking about a click or two, you know, an hour. We're talking about these guys being able to deliver thousands of clicks an hour, possibly even more. So you get your results really fast.
And by the way, we're at perrymarshall.com/myzell handout, and you can follow along and see Jonathan's slides here.
There's another important thing as well, and that is that the ad restrictions are significantly less than they are with a lot of the search engines. And I think that has to do with the nature of this particular advertising. This isn't a ad that appears on a search engine. You know, if you search for tobacco or, you know, buywhiskey.com or whatever on Google, you know, you're Google now is somehow responsible, or they feel they're responsible for delivering you to a place that is going to give you a good buy whiskey experience. But I don't even think they allow alcohol ads or gambling ads. Whereas on CPV, you have significantly fewer restrictions on categories, on sites, on types of businesses, on types of landing pages. You don't have any quality score, page rank, or anything like that. They'll either take it or they won't. And the only reasons I've found that they won't take it, you know, I mean, you can't have, like, whatever, bomb plans or, you know, the things that are illegal, you can't have. But generally, if you're trying to collect leads or if you've got a squeeze page or if you've got something that might be restricted elsewhere, you can run it. The only restrictions we found are they don't want to pop up on the pop-up, and they also don't like autoplay audio and video because that can kind of disrupt people. You know, it's like they're surfing on the Internet, this big pop-up comes up, and it starts to talk to them. That's almost too much. But I found that you can even negotiate some of that stuff if you talk to your ad rep. Although it's not about, you know, trying to annoy people to the nth degree. It's about getting a response. So I think that their rules and regulations are probably pretty solid, what few they have. I think the most amazing thing about CPV is the targeting. There's really nothing else that allows you to target like CPV. And if you really understand this power, you can create a sales funnel in pretty much any niche or industry out there. And here's how the targeting works. The pop-up is triggered upon two specific things. When someone does the search, like a keyword. And then the most important one is when they visit a specific URL. So let me clarify that again. I want to target, let's just say, Perry.
Okay.
But if I wanted to target Perry, I could now say whenever somebody goes to Perry, perrymarshall.com or any of Perry's sites, I can put a pop-up up there that says, stop. Don't buy that before you read this free report.
Man.
Not that I would, and not that there's enough volume to really make that work, but just to give you an idea, if I wanted to target a specific competitor, I could. Because I'm not buying the ad from Perry. I'm buying it from the network that has the software installed on the users. Does that make sense? The pop-up isn't coming from you, Perry. It's coming from this ad network.
Yeah.
Another example might be, I've got a couple on here, actually, a couple of good little case studies. But literally, this allows you to come between someone and your competitor. So literally, your pop-up comes up on top, and you can say, stop. Don't do that, or don't subscribe to that, or don't buy that until you read this. It's really super, super powerful. And some good examples of funnels that I think are really powerful are when you start to get on, I think it's page 13 of this handout. If you are a Netflix affiliate, you can target Blockbuster. And when someone goes to Blockbuster, you can say, hey, here's a Netflix ad. Rent as many movies as you want. Is that powerful, dude?
That is powerful. And, you know, I was just talking to Richard Stokes an hour ago, and one of the things that he told me, so he's from Ad Guru, and he's speaking in Maui, too. He's got a whole bunch of things he's been doing in his lab that he's going to explain. And one of the things, so AdGuru spiders millions and millions of search results, and they monitor what people are doing on the Internet, all the advertisers and stuff. And he said to me, you know, bidding on competitors' names and getting significant amounts of traffic is quickly becoming a thing of the past.
Right.
Because of quality scores and all this kind of stuff, like, you know, so the Google AdWords Wild West is getting tamer and tamer. Meanwhile, you know, the Wild West of Farmville or, you know, these kinds of things is crazy. And so now, if somebody's been going to Blockbuster, Netflix can know that, and now these pop-ups are showing up. Amazing.
That's right. But we're not talking about some complicated behavioral thing.
Okay.
We're talking about something very simple, which is, if I'm a Netflix affiliate and I'm placing CPV ads, the sites I'm going to target are Blockbuster sites. So this has nothing to do with Netflix or Blockbuster, actually. This has to do with the user. It's very different, this kind of advertising. It doesn't have to do, and Netflix isn't buying anything, and Blockbuster isn't buying it. Nobody's doing anything except for this user. This user goes to Blockbuster, and I have bidded high in the CPV network, and I've said to the network, when someone goes to Blockbuster, show this Netflix ad. And that's how I do it. Blockbuster and Netflix are completely out of the loop. And this is not some remarketing or behavioral marketing. We can talk about that more in a minute. But this is really just real simple. This is me saying to the ad network, hey, when someone goes to Blockbuster, show this Netflix page. Or when someone goes to Plenty of Fish, show this Match ad. Or when someone goes to University of Phoenix, show the scholarship solution. And these pop up on top of the website that the guy or girl is trying to go to. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's powerful, man. It's some crazy, crazy stuff. And again, it doesn't have anything to do with the advertisers. It has to do with this ad network that's tracking where people are going and allowing me to buy ads based on, that are triggered by, somebody going somewhere or somebody searching for something. It's really, really crazy stuff.
Wow.
And a lot of people are really starting to get hip to this. Now, the example I used before with Perry, that wouldn't even really work. I mean, I'm sure I could get a little bit of traffic from it, but I'm not targeting people who go to Perry. I'm targeting people who have the software installed who are going to Perry. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Right? I'm not saying I want, you know, I don't call Perry or you know, Eben Pagan or Jeff Walker or some guru and say, hey, man, you know, I'm going to put this pop-up on your site.
Right.
They don't have anything to do with it. What I do is I say to the network, if somebody goes to this page, show this pop-up. If somebody goes here, show that. And if they go here, show that. And if they search for this, show that. So it's really kind of a contextual, it's kind of a cross between contextual and behavioral marketing. And it's dirt, dirt cheap. So.
Now, I got two questions. First of all, how much traffic is available here compared to the places that we're all more familiar with?
More and more every day. But what I would have to say is, if you are trying to target a site that has no traffic or low traffic, or if you're trying to target a keyword search term that doesn't have much volume, there's not going to be much volume, right? You know, you're just not going to, because you're almost dealing with a double demographic, or in this case, the ad's only going to show when someone who has the software installed on the network that I'm buying the ads on goes to this page. So what happens is the very, very popular pages, of course, get a lot of traffic, and a lot of the very popular keywords get traffic. So this is really kind of an experiment that people have to do on their own. If you're in the debt space, let's just say, for example, you're in the debt collection space, and you were to bid on something like debt, or if you were to go and start bidding on all your competitors' sites, let me take that back. If you bid on something like debt, you're going to get a lot of traffic, but that's a really short keyword, and it may or may not be targeted based on what someone is looking for. Besides, most people don't type debt into the search engine. What do they type? get out of debt, right? Or
yeah.
Credit card consolidation. You know, most people are typing a 2, 3, 4, 5 or longer long tail keyword that pertains to them. How do I get out of debt now? You know, that's a common search phrase, right? So if you're typing or if you're targeting the word debt, you're going to get a lot of traffic. A much better way to do it is if you're in the debt space, find all the websites that are your competitors, people who do the exact same thing that you do, and target those URLs. You will get less traffic, but you will get far more targeted traffic. So you can actually pick the traffic up post-search. You know, I can't remember what the biggest debt relief center or something. There's a couple of big sites that handle debt relief and things like that. But if you target the keyword, you'll get a lot of traffic. It may or may not convert. But if you just target that site and not the keyword, all the people that had to go through the rigmarole to get there, once they're there, now your pop-up comes up. So you say to the network, when somebody visits the debt center, then I want, you know, Best Debt Solutions, my site, to pop up on top of that. And it literally will. And you can even have a message like, stop! Don't fill out the form on the debt center until you fill out this form first. Or, stop! Don't do debt consolidation until you look at negotiation. Or whatever it is that you're trying to do, or whatever it is you're trying to sell.
Now, Jonathan, so, could this be realistically done with B2B, or is this a B2C thing? What do you think about that?
It's a good question. So I think in the olden days, like a couple of years ago, things like games were just for kids. But now, and I see all my crazy friends playing Farmville and Mob Wars and Mafia Wars and Fishville and all these other things. And I know they're in their 40s. I don't know anymore. I really think that the demographic is, you know, we just got a new iPad, and the first thing I did is buy that darn Angry Birds. So, you know, I think more and more people are playing games who are grown-ups. They're probably playing them at work. And that's really the changing of the user base here. If it's some sort of download smileys toolbar or something, you know you're going to have a hard time selling anything other than games to those people. But when you really start to be able to target by keyword or website, I think there's some really good B2B opportunities. They're small, but they're growing. You know, I think a better way to approach it, because I remember somebody said, they're a carpet cleaner, and they're a friend of mine, and they said, man, I want to target all the other carpet cleaners here in Maui. And I said, okay, that's a good idea, and you totally should do that. But a better idea would be to write an ebook on how to clean your own carpet and then target every carpet cleaner in the world. Because I don't know how much traffic the little local carpet cleaners in Maui get, but I know that there's a big carpet cleaner somewhere in America, probably 5 or 10 of them, and they probably get millions of visitors a week. And that's going to be a far better way to actually do it. If you're targeting people on a B2B basis, there's not going to be a lot of volume. But what's cool is that you can really tailor your message any specific way you want. If you're selling, let's say business solutions, oh, I don't even, that's so generic. If you're selling accounting services, that's a good B2B thing. If you're a CPA and you're selling accounting services, you can absolutely target all your other people around you who are your competitors. Now, you probably aren't going to get a lot of traffic, but if you just get one client, you know, if you don't get much traffic, it means you're only spending a few bucks a week, which is nothing. And if you just get one client from that, I mean, imagine your ROI. ROI on this stuff is huge. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. And what kind of reporting am I getting?
Well, it's real simple because this stuff is basically counted as a click. And so you can put, there's internal tracking. You can see which of your phrases, keywords, long tail, URL targets actually get displays and traffic. And then you can either put your own tracking link in there, and almost all the networks out there have a conversion pixel. And so you can do the internal conversion pixel. We usually use a hyper tracker. But the reason this is so easy is that, because you're popping up a whole page, let's talk about the size. Most of these pop-ups are 750 by 550, somewhere around there. You want to talk to the network you're running on. But they're big enough so that you can, if you want, have a home page or a full-blown sales page or a totally separate lander with lots of stuff on it. This is not a little tiny ad that people click on. This is your big page. We like to use squeeze pages because those are just the best way to, you know, get someone initially interested in what you're trying to sell without having to have them make a big commitment. You can also use, if you want, like a big banner. You know, we've seen, I think I've got on page 17, a big deal of the week banner. This is a CPV banner that I've seen out there, and, you know, I don't even know where I saw this. I'm trying to think if it's like a waste container or something. But you can have a big banner, and you've got a lot of room for the banner. This is not some little 468 by 60. You know, you've got like a full page, 750 by 550 to tell your story in, or to have a banner that gets the click. And then, of course, a squeeze page is what we like to do. And you know, again, you can actually set up kind of a contextual bridge between where you know they are and where you're sending them to. So, you know, if in the Netflix example, your pop-up might not be the Netflix homepage. Maybe it is just a banner that says, stop before you join, you know, don't join Blockbuster. Join Netflix and, you know, and get your first 2 months free. So you can literally reference where they're going to. Very, very powerful. But I think the most important thing, oh, go ahead. Do you have a question?
Yeah. First of all, we're at perrymarshall.com/myzellhandout. And somebody asked a question, which was, is there like a minimum keyword volume kind of threshold that you would, that you might extrapolate from other things people are doing where, okay, yeah, this would probably be worth doing. Could you give us any kind of rule of thumb that says, okay, here's where it probably starts to get worth it to do it?
You know, I've tried to come up with a, it's so cheap that if you start thinking about it, it's worth it to set up a campaign regardless. But to get to the specific question, which is a great question actually, because it's kind of targeted not just to the keyword, but people that have this software installed, you're going to see particular trends much higher with keyword volume inside the network than out. Let me explain. If you are with Game Vance or, we'll just say Game Vance, which is a game network, and you are buying traffic on that network, you're going to have a much higher percentage of people interested in games than in the general internet. So I think it's important to understand out of this, these networks where your traffic comes from. If you have someone in, say, Babelfish, right, which is, I think, one of the other networks, if they're downloading the translation software, well, you know they're an adult and you know they're probably trying to learn another language. So, you know, you can make some assumptions. There is no keyword volume, but again, I want to answer the question. I don't want to dance around it. What I have found is that I like there to be at least 5,000 to 10,000 searches in Google.
Okay.
And if just as a round number, if there's no keyword volume in Google, there will be no keyword volume in CPV. But I also want to stress this. Don't think about keywords here. The best way to play CPV is not to target keywords at all. In fact, almost all my campaigns, I don't even have keywords in there. I only target sites.
Okay. So can I say about.com/pets? And petco.com. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, I could totally target about.com/pets, and I think there's probably another /dogs, right? I could probably just target the dog section. And there's probably beyond dogs food. I could probably target about.com/pets/dogs/food so that only people who are on the about.com site looking for information about dog food will get my Purina ad.
Got it. Sense? Got it.
The tighter we get with CPV, you get much, much lower volume. But you can also target so tightly that, you know, you get a really, really high conversion rate. And again, your ROI is just like crazy. Because you know where people are surfing. This is really crazy. In fact, I like to think of, if you pick up the phone and you call DoubleClick or Google, or if you call Yahoo Network or you call ValueClick and you say, I want to run a behavioral campaign, they will say, okay, it starts at $20,000, and we're going to use this whiz-bang technology, and you probably won't make money, but you'll be able to brand yourself or whatever their shtick is, right? Behavioral marketing has turned into this, like, solid gold thing. You got to get it. Well, I think of CPV as behavioral marketing because when I'm buying behavioral marketing from DoubleClick, I'm just saying I want people that went to a new car site, right? Bring me, people that went to one of the new car sites, I want to target. If I'm Toyota, I go to DoubleClick and I say, okay, Toyota, I know you can't tell me who went to Ford and who went to Hyundai, but you can take all that aggregate data, anonymous aggregate data, and I want to buy that. I want to buy a banner campaign that targets people that just looked at Fords or just looked at Hyundais or just looked at Jaguars or whatever. And that stuff is very, very expensive. But if you're Ford, you can just set up a CPV campaign and pop your thing right on top of the Toyota page for 2 cents. See, I think a lot of these guys have gotten snookered with behavior, a lot of these big companies, because they've been made to think that it's this complicated thing. All behavioral marketing is here's somebody who took a specific action. They went to a specific site. They filled out a form. They did something through their behavior that we're now targeting. But look at what you can do with CPV. If you go to page 20, if someone searches for bad investments, I'm just going to use keyword examples in this thing, you can pop up that says portfolio getting slaughtered. Help is just one click away. Click here. If someone searches for fix a drain, then you can pop up service magic. You know, I'm assuming that you are service magic or that you have a service or a site that can actually handle this, right, that can help someone fix a drain. Or maybe you have an ebook on Be Your Own Plumber or something, right? If you have Get Six-Pack ads, if someone searches for that, or if someone searches for a different site and ends up on a site about getting six-pack ads, you can pop up either your own site or something like Truth About Ads, which is like one of the top ClickBank books on getting six-pack abs. So you really can, like I said, put yourself in between the prospect and the competitor. Because when someone sits down and does a search on Google, they don't know where they're going to go. Otherwise, they would just go there, right? I mean, some cases they enter in the URL. People search all kinds of screwy ways. But in by and large, when someone goes to Google, you know, if they wanted to go to their plumber's place, they would just go to their plumber place. They want to search for fix a drain on Google. They want to know how to fix a drain. So if we go back, what was that last example on the fix a drain one? You've got your fix a drain, how stuff works, how to fix sinks, tubs, and drains. I could not only target that keyword, I could also take this number one search result for fix a drain is howstuffworks.com/whatever drain, right?
Uh-huh.
I could just target that particular site, HowStuffWorks.
You know, Jonathan, I'm sitting here, I'm on Alexa, and I'm looking at numbers 60 through 80. So I've got GoDaddy. Now, I can imagine there's a lot of people that would love to target people who've been visiting GoDaddy, right?
That's right.
There's ESPN.
Well, anyway,
what?
Let's talk about that for a second. The obvious one is because you're a domain registrar.
Right.
But if someone just registered a domain, what else do we know about what they're going to need?
Oh, exactly. They need Perry. They need Jonathan. They need a local SEO person. They need a pay-per-click person. They need need an accountant.
They need hosting and accountant and technical stuff and, you know, all sorts of information. And because you can target not just the root URL, but actually down there, you could say to people, you know, a lot of people who go to GoDaddy, let's say you were a domain registrar and you wanted to target GoDaddy. A lot of people go to GoDaddy, they already have their domain and it's already at GoDaddy, they're just logging in. So you can say, I want to exclude the login page. I want to exclude the research domain page, and I just want to have people who are in the register domain page. It's really, really powerful.
Yeah.
And again, every day more and more people download this stuff. They download these softwares, these toolbars, these things. And in the old days, like with Comet Cursor and some of these other companies, it was all spyware, and they never told you what you were getting into. But now, because of the law, because of the Federal Trade Commission, because of lawsuits and other things, these companies are incredibly upfront about what you're signing up for.
Huh.
They say right up front, you're going to download this, and you're going to get ads. And if you don't want the ads, you can turn them off at any time, but that also turns off the software.
Can they pay to turn off the ads?
If Farmville or if Zynga thought that they'd make more money turning off the ads, they would do that. But they make a lot more money selling Netflix subscriptions than they do selling pigs.
Very well, I'm sure they've tested it. Which all that tells you is that regardless of what people say, they'll put up with all kinds of annoyances so that they can do Farmville.
That's right. Or whatever they want. You know, people have this idea that they want to do what they want and nothing's going to stop them. And if they want to play that game, gosh darn it, they're going to play it.
Yeah.
Now, they might be annoyed that they get the pop-ups. But believe me, if they enjoy the game, if they don't, they'll just turn it off. If they enjoy the game, their pleasure is so much more important to them than a stupid pop-up window that they can close. And actually, because of the way this stuff is targeted, it really, if you're good at it and you really start to understand how to play this game, it's really super relevant. I mean, you can get a lot of people opting into your forums and doing certain things, taking certain actions, if you can kind of come between them and somebody else. Now, I'm not going to say I'm a Netflix user and also an affiliate. I'm not going to say they're better than Blockbuster. You will have two competing affiliates on the same network. One is the Blockbuster guy trying to target Netflix, and the other is the Netflix guy trying to target Blockbuster.
Sure.
And you know what? I'm sure they're both great services. So why shouldn't the Netflix person have an opportunity to check out Blockbuster?
Of course.
And why shouldn't I make $18.50 when he does?
Okay.
Or whatever. Okay. So I want to talk a little bit now about some of the sources, because I know a lot of people have said, God, this must be expensive, even though it's a few cents. There are dozens and dozens of ad networks that are coming up, and there are also some kind of undercover ones that you know, they don't really advertise, or maybe there's sites like ValueClick that can give you pop-up, this kind of pop-up inventory. But again, they call it behavioral marketing and they charge you an arm and a leg for it. There are two sources that I want to give you guys today that I absolutely recommend, and they're both cheap and they're both easy and they're both really cool. You can get started really quickly. And the first one is called Lead Impact. LEADIMPACT.
Which is on page 27 of the handout.
It's on page 27.
Yep.
There's a CPV network. It's all pop-ups. It's all bidded. It's just like what we talked about. I like this network a lot. It's one of the best we've found. The ability to target is just super, super powerful. The way that their interface is interfaces are kind of a sticky subject for me, and I think you too, Perry. And I will just say this. It doesn't suck. It's easy to manipulate, and I can find my way around. I always wish there were little bits and pieces that were different. But once you get a, you know, you can set up 20 campaigns in an hour. It's really not that hard. As soon as you say, okay, I want to target this high traffic site with this pop-up and this high target traffic site with this pop-up, and I want to target this group of sites with this pop-up or with this particular page or with this particular offer, it's pretty simple to get set up, and it's a $200 minimum to actually get set up. And they're one of the few networks, don't quote me, but at least they, a few years ago, they said, if you test us out, you deposit $200, and if after $50 of spend you're not making any money or you're not happy, pick up the phone. We'll either help you optimize your campaign or we'll give you a refund. And I think most of them are like that right now. You can still talk to people at these networks, and they'll help you. In fact, I had it wasn't this network. It was another one that's kind of gone downhill. But I actually had a bunch of keywords that I was targeting, and the guy said, I said, man, it's not working for me. And he said, oh, he said, here, try these. And I looked at him, and I said, what are these? He said, these are the top websites in the world that we know we can get traffic for this particular topic. I'm like, really? You're just going to give this to me? And I thought, oh, my God, why is he doing this? Well, obviously, so I could start spending $200 a day. So,
Very interesting. Very interesting.
There's another network called Direct CPV, and you can get there by going to cpvad.com. And what Direct CPV is it's another type of network. It's also a CPV. It's also bidded. It also uses pop-ups. Their interface is slightly different, and I like one of the things that they do a little bit better. With Lead Impact, you mix up all of your keywords and your targets in one big list if you want to set up a big campaign. With Direct CPV, they say they have a whole section, pardon me, for targeting specific websites and a different one for targeting specific keywords. And then you can also target by category. I would not, by the way, there's a lot of traffic on these networks for category type of traffic, right? Like game traffic or debt traffic. And what I found is that kind of category-based traffic usually sucks as much as it does on other networks. That's what I found. You know, I bought category traffic on many networks in my life, and I have only found once or twice that I could make it actually profitable. So I would avoid the category, go for keywords, and specifically go for URLs that you want to target, and specifically high target URLs. You know, one of the things that we recommend, and there's tools for this that we talk about in some of our materials, but if you go to Google and you enter in, let's say, get out of debt, you know that all the people who go to Google that enter in get out of debt are going to get not exactly the same, but a very similar search engine result page. So you know that according to Google, these are the important sites. And you also know that they're in the top 10. So you target those sites.
Of course.
That's what you do.
Makes
and you also
sense.
target top sites in Alexa and ComScore. just so long as they're about what you're selling and promoting, you're going to probably do very, very well. There's a couple warnings I want to give people. I think I said before the short tail is where it's at. There is virtually no long tail inventory here. I mean, if you think you're going to get traffic with a 4 or 5 word term, it's just not going to happen. Unless there is in the real world, if there's a million or more searches for your 4 word long tail or 5 word long tail, yeah, there'll be some volume. But this is not about trying to sneak a few extra clicks for 5 cents. This is about really going for the site targeting. So I think 1, 2, 3 word keyword terms are probably your best bet in keywords. And really it's all about figuring out who the competitors are and creating that contextual bridge between what you're targeting and what you're offering. So you also want to target very accurately. And again, I'm going to recommend that most everybody uses the conversion pixel. I've never seen a system where the conversion pixels are perfect, but they're usually fairly accurate, you know, within 5 or 10 points. And what we found, just to give you an example, we had a campaign we set up about a year ago, which we ran for about 3 or 4 months. Actually, it wasn't even that long ago. It was about 6 months ago. We ran it for about 3 or 4 months, and it was a lead gen program. And we had a lot of trouble placing the pixel. But once we finally got it placed, we knew we were getting clicks and opt-ins. We just didn't know where they were coming from. It turned out that, and we were spending, say, 40 bucks a day on this particular campaign, there was only 2 targets that generated any significant opt-ins for us at all. And so when you know that, I mean, we were able to take our spend from 30 a day down to like $5 a day because all I was doing is targeting these 2 sites. And my ROI went up through the roof. I mean, we're not talking a lot of money here, but we're talking maybe 10, 15 leads a day. And actually, these leads were being sold for 10 bucks each, so it's 100 bucks a day. You know, and that's just one campaign. So it's really possible to stumble onto a gold mine if you're using the conversion tracking. Mm. And that holds true. I don't care if you're using Google or AdBright or advertising or some CPV network. If you know what keyword generated the dollar and which ad generated the dollar, you're in a much better position. Which leads me to, you always want to track your links and monitor very, very carefully. This type of stuff is usually a lot better for lead gen than it is for trying to sell something up front. Right? This is not, you know, I'm going to buy a $2,000 home study course and I'm going to target Evan Pagan with Jeff Walker, you know, it's a different guru's thing, and Walker will be like, stop, don't spend your money with Evan Pagan, buy this $2,000 product. Okay, that's not going to do anything. It just won't. I wish it would, but it just won't. What will do something is if you target Evan Pagan and you have a squeeze page that says, hey, you know, Evan's great, but have you seen Jeff? You know, sign up for his newsletter for free and then close this window and you'll be able to see Evan's site perfectly. So it's really more about funnel initiation, funnel creation. And then I always say, I do this with everything, start low with $10 to $25 a day as a minimum dollar amount. I mean, if you do that on Google, you might get 4 or 5 clicks and you're still not going to know anything and you're down 10 bucks. But at 2 or 3 cents per view, a $10 budget, you're going to have hundreds of people look at that offer and you're going to know something about it. Did anybody opt in? Did they stay there for anybody stay there for more than half a second?
Mm-hmm.
And so you get a far significantly higher amount of volume with CPV. That's why it's so great to test. I think I said earlier, one of the things we'll do is we'll often target competitors, not in the internet marketing space, because again, there's not a lot of traffic there. But if I'm a doing a lead gen, like for this company I was working with a while back, we would target their competitors, and then we would just rotate three headlines or four headlines on a squeeze page, and we could see, oh, this is what they like. Oh, the one we all thought they liked, they didn't like. Or maybe they liked it, but they didn't opt in. Maybe they liked it so much they didn't need any more. I don't know.
Right. Well, isn't that the way of it?
That is the way of it. Okay, so I want to do a key points wrap-up, and then, Perry, answer any other questions you might have for me, or just ramble on a bit more about CPV. I think the important things are it's delivered as a permission-based pop-up to users who agree to view ads in exchange for use of the software, tool, or game. They are a little bit more desensitized to advertising, but they're a lot more tolerant of advertising because you know they get it all the time.
Yep.
It's low price, high quality traffic, usually a couple cents per view when you get into the more competitive stuff. You know, it's funny. It's like, oh my God, should I raise this to 8 cents? Oh my God. I mean, in Google, you know, it's like, should I raise this to $4? Should I do it? Should I do it? Very easy to get started, set a budget, pause your campaigns. The targeting that's available specifically that I like is the URL targeting. And again, it's a sold on a per view basis. It's kind of a different nomenclature than we'd normally use. I think of it as something in between a click and an impression. It's not quite a click because they didn't ask for it, but it's contextually as relevant as any ad they would see on the side of Google, if you're targeting correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it, baby. I hope everybody downloads that deal because there's a lot of really good stuff in there.
There is PerryMarshall.com/MyZell handout. So, well, that's great. You know, it's really easy for people to get locked into a certain mentality and think that, oh, gee, I just ran out of options. There's nothing else I can do. Or, you know, well, it's never really true.
It's never really true. And listen, I mean, in the course that you just promoted for us, the Traffic Evolution, I mean, I think we've got 50 or 60 different ad sources in there. It's probably about 6 or 8 CPV ones. But when I look at all the traffic out there, it blows my mind. A media buyer friend of mine and I were talking recently, and we were talking about a couple different networks, and I said, which one is best? You know, come on. And I'm surprised that I even asked that because people ask me that all the time. And I was looking for a one-word answer. And he said, they're all great and they all suck. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, these guys are great for this kind of traffic and they're absolutely not negotiable on this particular way, but they'll go CPA if you can promise them $100,000 a month of volume. These guys over here are very easy to do business with, but I'd never like their traffic, you know, although my friend says it's worth. And it's kind of like, I guess in any particular situation, if you're trying to sell your stuff or if you're an affiliate trying to promote stuff, there are always going to be better or worse places for you to run in. But pretty much if you spend the time with any particular network, you know what the most important part of any network is? It's not the interface. It's your relationship with your ad rep. I had a situation recently where we were at a seminar ad tech over in New York a few months ago, and I was talking to this woman who works for AdBright, actually, and I said, yeah, I have this campaign, and I just couldn't make it work with you. And she said, oh, well, how close were you? I said, I couldn't get any better than break even. And she's like, you got to break even on your own? I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, I'm a professional. I should be able to. And she said, well, okay. She said, but if you can go break even, spend 20 minutes with me on the phone, and I'll show you how to turn that into a 2X.
Oh.
If you're a 2X, I'll show you how to turn it into a 3X. And I said, really, how? And she said, I have so many things at my disposal. I can throttle up the ad server to make sure you get different inventory. I can override the minimum bid thing. I can put you into this one site that I know will get you the traffic. She says, I work here. You just run with us. She said, I would love to turn this into a $500 campaign, a day campaign. Now, when she said that, I thought to myself, oh my God, a campaign that makes me $500 a day. But when she said that, she was thinking, oh, a campaign that I can get $500 a day out of him for.
Right. Well.
And that's what it's about.
There's always some bones buried somewhere that you don't know about until you talk to the people that are up to their eyeballs in it every day, right? So
that's the case. Hey, let's talk for a few minutes about the seminar, if that's okay.
Yeah, let's please do that.
Because, you know, this I spoke on today's topic is not what I'm going to talk about at the Maui seminar. This was a different topic that I decided to put together, and we had talked about me presenting something totally different for this than the seminar. But this seminar, and I know I've told you this before, I've been to probably about 200 seminars in my life. This was probably one of the very best seminars in terms of quality of information, quality of attendees. And it's in Hawaii, so man, it's like quality of fun.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to a Yannick Silver seminar, and I love his seminar. It's a totally different gig, but, and also great speakers and great presentations and everything. But it's in Washington, D.C. in the winter. So there's a huge difference between that and being in the Wailea area, the nicest area of the nicest island on Maui, and you over-delivered so much last year. So I guess I just want to stress a couple things. Number one, the information I present there is going to be totally different than this. We're going to go very deep. I'm going to be there at the entire event, you know, maybe not every minute, but I will be there as an attendee and as a speaker, and I'll be having little masterminds sessions and breakaway groups, not during the thing, but, you know, afterwards in the bar and things like that. And I'm really looking forward to, you know, to not only meeting everybody, but learning stuff. I took so many notes last year, and I don't really take notes at a seminar, but I took so many notes last year, it blew my mind. I got back, and I had so many projects that I needed to start working on right away because of stuff I'd learned there. So I just want to encourage everybody the strongest way possible to come to the Maui seminar. You know, Perry, I don't know, it's a lot of work for you. We all say we're going to keep doing them, but, you know, I mean, what if next year's in somewhere like Enid, Oklahoma or something? I'm sure it'll be a great seminar and everything, but, you know, you would have been like, oh, yeah, it's a great seminar, but I'm in Enid, Oklahoma. And if you're in Enid, Oklahoma, you know, please take no offense. I love Enid. It's not Wailea in Maui. There's the other thing, too, is that the whale season has started, and so you have a very good chance of seeing whales and also surfing and swimming and all that other stuff. Maybe you should talk about what the content will be.
Well, last year, it was about the same time of year, and there were even places where you'd be driving down the highway and all the traffic slowed down because there were whales over in the ocean, 1,000 feet away, you know, blowing spouts in the air, and everybody wants to look. So it was a great time, and yeah, you know, this is a seminar for people that are jaded about seminars. You know, most seminars that I could go to, I sit there in the back next to the other speakers. I'm like, yeah, I've heard this before. Yeah, I've heard this before. Yeah, I've heard this before. And, you know, good for all the people here that have only been doing marketing for a year or two because it's all new to them, but it sure ain't new to me. You know, at our seminar, you're going to hear stuff every 15 minutes that you've never heard before for 3 days.
That's exactly true. I mean, the stuff you did on Facebook was, it just blew my mind. It was so good. I actually had Drew come and talk to our group. I mean, I had just not heard anyone go that deep into the analytics of it. And that was just one thing. I mean, Richard's presentation, all of your speakers are fantastic. And it is a, you know, it's not a pitch fest. It's a real, at all, it's a real learning environment.
Yeah.
And also, just the quality of the people. I can't believe how many people are, you know, were multimillionaires in your group who were just attendees, just there to learn, there to pick up new stuff. And when I asked someone who's been on the internet for 20 years doing everything and running a big business, I'm like, did you learn anything? They're like, oh my God, I can't wait to get home. You know, some people were literally going out and trying to implement changes to their website with their laptop outside the thing because they didn't for another minute want their website up without that little thing that Perry taught us about. And there's just something about waking up in Hawaii and looking out your window and seeing this amazing ocean and breathing in the air and then going down to absorb all the information. There's something about the way the information is, the way it is processed in your brain when you're in a place like this. So I want to encourage everyone to come and you know, just say that I had an amazing time and I guarantee that you will too. Was there anything else?
Well, I couldn't have dreamed of a better endorsement. Wow, that's great.
Well, it's a really special event, and it's, you know, it reminds me of some of the events that I've done like 8-10 years ago, and it's just a very unique environment. You know, it's not for newbies or anybody like that. It's definitely got a price tag, and you know, the whole kit and caboodle. It's not one of those little seminars that you come and spend all the time in the hall. In fact, I was just saying, other seminars, everybody's out in the hall. Your seminar, there's one or two guys, you know, talking to their wife or trying to get back in. But literally, the whole room is in the room at the speaker.
And outside the room was a patio overlooking a golf course. And they still weren't there. Right. So.
And Haleakala volcano. Okay. I guess that's probably it. I hope I was really able to give people an understanding of CPV so they finally, you know, get an idea of really what it's all about and how powerful it can be. I would say that you probably want to get on this stuff quickly because the more people that learn about this, the more competition there is, and then your bids get bid up, and they're so far away from Google. But I remember when I was getting Google traffic, you know, on the search side for 5 and 10 cents, and I'd be like, oh, it might go up to 20 cents or 30 cents. I'm not worried about it.
Right. Yeah, it went up more than that, didn't it?
Didn't even get in. Okay, well, is there anything else you wanted to say?
No, I just I really want to give you some serious appreciation for giving out this information. I apologize to everybody for the screw up at the beginning. We sometimes screw things up, but you know, thank you to everybody that stayed on. I'm really glad that Jonathan's coming, and yeah, you know, just come to Maui. PerryMarshall.com/Maui. Sign up. Take whatever discounts you can. If being a Mastermind Club member gives you a bigger discount, then just sign up for Mastermind Club. It's a good club. And you know, we're gonna give you a stellar event in a wonderful location, and all you have to do is go home and implement about 10% of what you learned, and it'll pay for your whole trip. So. And Jonathan, thank you very much. And we'll see a whole bunch of you guys in Maui, Hawaii in March 14 to 16. So, Jonathan, I really appreciate this very hot topic that you had. It's good.
Oh, great. And I'm sure you can download that thing from Perry's deal for a while. you guys have a good one. Enjoy it. And send me an email. Let me know how your CPV campaigns are going.
You bet. Thank you, Jonathan, very much. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Perry. Aloha. See ya.
Bye.